There we go. That Sam Delaney playing with my buttons is what it was. He's not here, I blame him. All right, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and said, Camest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. He said, Moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, Say on. And he said, Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and is become thy brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now, this guy knows God gave it to the other fellow, but he wants it anyhow. That sounds 20th century to me. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said, Say unto him, Say on. And he said, Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. And Bathsheba said, Well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now this morning to enable us, to help us, to empower us to preach. My Father, I pray, help us to give honor and glory to whom honor is due. And may we somehow encourage mothers to be all that they should be, and that above all things they might strive with all of their might to be a godly mother and to raise children for God. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, of course, it's Mother's Day, and so I want to talk to you for just a little while about mothers. I've never been one, but I did have one, and I've watched a number of women who are mothers. I paid careful attention to my wife as she was a mother, and one of the greatest challenges, one of the greatest undertakings known to mankind is motherhood. I can't think of anything that demands more of a person in as many diverse ways for as long a period of time without prior experience or training than motherhood. I hear young fellas, you know, we hire guys, we'll send them out on a job, and they'll look at a big old control panel, and there'll be 20 relays and 500 wires in there, and they'll say, Oh, I've never worked on one of these before. I thought, You don't know nothing, son. You ought to be a mama. It's first-time deal for every mother, see? You say, Well, you know, they learn from mother. Yeah, but all of a sudden, you're on your own. Amen? And it's a very daunting task, and for the most part, a very thankless task. But those women who do it and do it well and produce children that are people of character and faith have made a tremendous success and an awesome contribution to society. The Bible has a great deal to say about mothers and motherhood. And, of course, as always, the Bible never flinches. It mentions all the good things about them and all the bad things. The one thing about the Bible is when it paints a picture, it's a realistic picture. When the Bible paints a picture, you can draw that picture right alongside life, and it'll match up every single time. Amen? Now, in the Bible, there are 39 mothers mentioned by name. They're 10 times in the Bible, it says, and his mother's name was, and specifically gives a reference to a mother who has some specific or special characteristic about it that God wants you to take notice of. These are special women, and you can learn something from them. In most cases, it's something profitable and beneficial. Sometimes the mother has an attribute that is a negative, and God wants to point that out to you to protect you and help you avoid that pitfall. There are over 300 references to mothers in the Bible. God spends a lot of time. It only says you must be born again twice. Amen? Now, in the Bible, God mentions all kinds of mothers. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 3, there's a wicked mother. Might as well get the bad stuff out of the way so we can end on a positive note. In Hosea chapter 2 and verse 5, there is a whorish mother. God forbid that would be any of our ladies. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 28, there is a vengeful mother. In Judges chapter 14 and verse 5, there's a negligent mother. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 28, there is a weeping mother. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19, there is an honored mother. In Psalm 113 verse 9, there is a joyful mother. In Luke chapter 1 verse 24 and 25, there are rejoicing mothers. In 1 Samuel 2:19, there's a working mother. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2, there is a protecting mother. In Proverbs 31:1, there is a teaching mother. And thanks be unto God for all the life's lessons that mothers teach. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, there are godly mothers. And in John 19, 26 and 27, there are grieving mothers. And so anything you need to know about motherhood and what's expected and what it's like and those kind of things, if you take the time to study your Bible, you can get a whole encyclopedia full of information on mothers and motherhood. Amen. People say, well, I don't know about this. Now, that's because you don't take the time to read. You don't place the proper emphasis on what the Bible says. Here's a young mother, and she goes out and gets Dr. Spock or some other sinner's idea about how to raise children, and it's in direct contradiction to what that Bible says. You raise your children according to that Bible, and that be your rule book, they'll come out pretty good most of the time. You follow Spock and all them other harebrained things they got out there these days, only God knows how they're going to come out. Amen? And so children are, and being a mother is an important thing in the Word of God. And today we want to spend some time honoring mothers. And if you notice all the different subjects that the Bible talks about in talking about mothers, their personalities, their character, or the lack thereof, sometimes mothers are mentioned by name and there's a whole paragraph about them. Sometimes their name reoccurs over and over again. Sometimes they only show up one time in the whole Bible, yet in that one time, God gives us an insight into their character, and from one verse, from one sentence, you can learn all kind of tremendous things about a mother. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible said in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. That's the only time that comes up. That's the only time Eunice is mentioned and all that. You've got that one little sentence. But look at what I can learn from that. From that verse, I learned this, that he had a godly grandmother. Blessed be the name of the Lord for the young person who has got a grandmother that is a God-fearing grandmother. Amen. Now, today, grandmothers want to be hip and cool, and they want to have fun, and they'll spend their money on you, and they'll take you to the zoo, and this, that, and the other, and if it's fun or pleasurable, they're all for it, but grandmothers don't have much time to pray for grandkids anymore. Grandmothers don't have much time to set a godly example anymore. Grandmothers these days aren't willing to dress modestly and appropriately to set a Christ-like example for grandchildren. Amen. If you've got a godly grandmother, she may be a little stick in the mud. She may be kind of a throwback to antiquity. But boy, if she loves God and she's got standards and morals and ethics and all that, and she's willing to live by that and impart that to you, you better get on your face tonight and get before Almighty God and thank God you got a godly grandmother. Now, this godly grandmother, I learned in that verse, had transferred her faith to her daughter. Glory to God for the family that passes their faith to the next generation. Amen. A mom and a dad that live so and behave so and practice so that their children pick up their faith, that they learn about Jesus Christ and adopt the faith of their mother and their father. Boy, every mom and daddy ought to pray night and day to have that impact on their children. Your children are going to follow somebody. They're going to be behind somebody. Somebody is going to be their example. Somebody will put them on the path that they will follow down life's road. It might as well be mom and dad, and it ought to be the straight and narrow for Jesus Christ. Amen? And so here this boy had a godly grandmother and a godly mother. Well, I'll tell you what, you got a fighting chance if you've got two generations of godly women working for you. Amen. Holding you up to God and setting an example for you and praying for you. Woe be unto the young man, young woman who doesn't have some old saint back there praying for them. Then I learned this, that not only did she have the faith, she had the conduct that matched her confession. Why, Paul, read the verse, Paul had heard about her testimony. Amen. Listen, when a woman is godly, it gets around. When they're ungodly, it gets around. Amen. You don't have to be a harlot or any of those kind of things not to have a reputation. All you have to do is just not be godly. When a woman is godly, there's something about her that radiates. There's an aurora around her. People pick up on it. There's a sense about them that you pick up on, that they love God and fear God. And those women are a cut above. And the world treasures them and sets them on high esteem. And that's the way it ought to be. Not only that, I learned from that one little verse that this woman was not only a godly woman, but she obviously witnessed to her son. Paul said it was in your grandmother, then your mama got it, and now you got it. Amen. Well, that doesn't happen accidentally. You got to teach them. You got to train them. You got to talk to them. Now, mamas and daddies these days sit around and talk to their children about the latest TV hit show and the latest sitcom and the latest soap operas and that kind of stuff and the latest action movie and who's ahead in NBA and who's ahead in basketball and who's ahead in NASCAR, and we know all the sports statistics, but we don't have a mom and daddy that's talked to us about God. They think that going to church a couple of times a week's enough. Listen, you got to have some God at home. It ain't just enough to have God at church. Your young'uns need to see God down at King James Independent Baptist Church, but blessed be God, they need to see some God on mama. They need to see some God on daddy. They need to see God at home. Amen? And buddy, when you think you say, oh, we've got a Christian home, but you don't read that Bible, and you don't pray, and you don't require any spiritual devotions out of your children, and there's no air of Christianity at home, it's all secular and it's all worldly. You don't have a Christian home. You're just a couple of Christians in a house. I learned this from that verse. Now, this is not the message, so just settle down. I noticed this from that verse. She was rewarded for her effort. Woman was a godly woman. She witnessed to her son, and God honored what she did, and her boy got saved. Now, I can't think of anything much greater than that. Amen. Of all the things that I've ever wanted in my life, I've never wanted my children to be famous. If they got famous, that would have been fine if they lived for God. I never particularly wanted to be rich. Now, if they got rich and took care of mom and dad in their old age, that would be fine. But if they never had a dime, if they had to live from paycheck to paycheck, and they lived in a mobile home till Jesus came, I could care less if they're saved and live for God. That's all I ever wanted. Amen? I want them to live for God. That's the single most important. You say, well, I just want mine to get saved. Well, if they don't live for God, what makes you think you're saved? Right, say, well, they made a profession of faith at church. They made a profession of faith at some vacation Bible school kind of a thing. Yeah, but how do you know it was real if there's no follow-up? Right, amen. I wouldn't have much confidence in it. There's a lot of mamas and daddies down south that are just sitting back taking life easy, not worrying about their testimony, not worrying about being consistent, not worrying about being an example, because their little boy, their little girl made a profession when they were 5 years old, and they're just trusting that to make sure their little boy or little girl gets home to glory. You got a lot more faith than I got. Amen. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and squawks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Amen. But if it says it's a duck and it don't look like a duck and it don't sound like a duck and it don't walk like a duck, it probably ain't a duck. And just because your kid said, oh, I got saved when I was 5, I got saved when I was 7, but they don't live like it and they don't talk like it and they don't go to church and they don't read their Bible and they're not interested in spiritual things, in God's name, what makes you think they're saved? Mama, you better get busy praying for them young. I noticed this. She was rewarded for efforts. I noticed this about that verse. She was noticed by the church. Okay? Grandmother Eunice, Mama, now Timothy, and Paul the Apostle took notice of it. Amen? Listen, in every church, there's a man or two, a woman or two that live for God and love God. And the rest of the folks in there take note of who they are. And they shun them. They don't like to be around them. They want to come in and the ladies will all get together and talk among themselves and they're polite and they're cordial, but they don't get real close to that lady or to that man that's got that God all over them. Because it makes them feel bad because they're not living that way. But you let trouble come. You let their kids start going bad. You let their marriage start coming apart. Let me tell you who they're going to look up. They're going to find that one or two women in the church. They're going to find that one or two men in that church. And that's the ones they want to talk to because that's the one they know's got something. She was noticed by the church. She was honored by God. So how did he honor? He put her in the book. You're talking about an honor. You know, there's just so much stuff to go in the Bible. God knew how big the book was going to be. But he found room to squeeze a big, long sentence in there about Eunice and Timothy's mother. Now, that's an honor. Is your name in there? Amen? Is there any mention of some deeds you done? I don't think so. But that little old lady, because of her faith, got her name in God's Bible. I don't know about you, son, but I think that's an honor. If my name was to ever show up in anybody's book, this is the one I want to be in right here. I'll tell you something else, and then we'll move on to something else. You know what? You know what I learned from that verse? Old Eunice was a godly woman. She passed it on to her daughter. She passed that on to her son. You know something? You know what that tells me? That tells me that mama will have family in heaven. When they get up there in glory and stand around the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb and sing that old song, will the circle be unbroken? Oh, Eunice and Timothy's mother and Timothy be standing there holding hands and the circle will be unbroken. I guarantee you, them two old women won't regret a mile they walked for God. They won't regret a day they served God. They won't regret an example they ever set. They'll never regret one word they said to Timothy that got him saved and got him home to glory. They'll be glad they did it. They'll be excited about it. They'll say, thank God, thank God, thank God that I told my boy about Jesus Christ. Now today is Mother's Day, and this is a day that we want to honor mothers. This is the day when every mother on the planet ought to be in church, and half of them are going to lay out to have some family affair. I never figure Christians out. I cannot get a handle on them. I think sometimes I'm semi-retarded. Everybody seems to get it but me, and I just don't get it. But the world will encroach on our holidays. Now, Mother's Day is not a biblical holiday in any sense, yet we are admonished to honor thy father and thy mother. And this is the day we've set aside to do that. And, of course, the world's going to do it too. ABC TV. We'll have mom movies all day today. And Oprah will have a special tribute to mothers. And Belks and Pennies will put on special sales to spend dad's money. Tomorrow, classes will resume over at junior college and places and social services on parenting class for young mothers. CBS will run several more hours of kids having kids and, you know, that kind of stuff. The world takes note of Mother's Day. The day and age in which you live, our girls are great athletes, and our girls have great careers, but for the most part, they're not great mothers. They know how to be sexy, and they know how to have sex, but they don't know how to keep a house, cook, clean, or care for babies. God Almighty never called you girls to be sexy. God Almighty never called you to have a career. God Almighty never called you to be an athlete. Amen. I personally am not in favor of girls being in any kind of contact sport. Girls got too many moving parts. Amen. And I think you ought to make your girls feminine and delicate and your boys rough and tough and mean as hell. Amen. Boy, we've done it just the other way around in our generation. We got girls that know how to fight. I saw Ollie's girl the other day. She's big as the side of a house. No wonder she can fight. She's a big old bruiser, you know. She's a boxer. That's not a ladylike thing to do. Come fame, it's not a gentlemanlike thing to do either. I don't know what kind of entertainment it is, watch two guys beat each other's brains out. But I'm not in favor of girls being in those kind of contact sports where they can damage their body and that kind of stuff. They're supposed to stay home and be mamas and take care of babies and love daddy and keep house. Amen. Well, preacher, the world's changing. Things are not like that. Well, it's only changing not like that because you don't make it like that. It can be that way if you want it to be that way. Your wife don't have to work. You say, well, we'd have to buy a smaller house and drive an older car, and we could only have one TV. So? There's not a law in the universe that you've got to have a separate bedroom for every one of your youngins. Bless God, put two sets of bunk beds in there, two on this side, two on that side, and put four boys in one room. Now, I think you ought to separate the boys and girls. But other than that, pile them up. Bless God, 50, 60 years ago in our country, they had five or six in the same bed, three at the top, three at the bottom, and they fight all night. Amen? Nowadays, we've got to have a separate bedroom and a separate closet. They have to have their own space. Give me a break. I'd rather put four of them in one room on bunk beds and let them share one bathroom and fight over it and keep mama home so mama could teach them and train them than to have a big old nice house and mama have to work and let the daycare and the public schools have my youngins. Now, the world's going to pay attention to Mother's Day. We talk about sports and careers, and when we ought to be teaching our girls how to take care of babies and change diapers, how to take care of a husband and love him, how to keep romance in the marriage, how to keep a house clean. Amen. Good night, little old girls these days. They got one or two kids, and they got to have one or two days a week off to themselves. They just got to have some time. Why? Your mama, your great-grandmama had 10 or 12, and blessed be God, it wasn't nobody ever helped her do nothing. She got up in the morning, cooked breakfast, and sent Paul out to the field or off to the mill, and she cleaned the house and washed clothes and washed dishes and cooked the beans all by herself and dealt with all the problems of all 10 or 12 of her youngins. Well, little old girls these days, they're like them sissy boys we got. They just can't cope. We got to have a week to get away. Got to have mama and daddy take care of the kids one or two nights a week. Now, give me a break, son. You're a wimp. Amen. You need to toughen up. Live life, you say. Be responsible for what you did. Mama and daddy already raised theirs. You raise yours. Anyway, so the world's going to acknowledge Mother's Day, so I thought we would. And so I only have four little points. This will be a very brief message, 4 points. And I got them from this passage we read here about King Solomon honoring his mother. The Bible said, honor to whom honor. The Bible said, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, let me give you four things about that as briefly as I can. Number one, why honor your mother? Why do you do that? Why would you? Well, number one, because God told you to. God knows what he's doing, and if God said you need to honor mama, then bless God, you ought to honor mama. You say, well, me and mama don't always see eye to eye. Well, that ain't nothing. I don't always see eye to eye with myself. Amen? Sometimes I get aggravated at me. I don't know anybody that agrees with somebody else all the time. I don't have to necessarily like everything somebody else does, but I can still appreciate them and still love them, still care about them. Amen? Now listen, God told you to honor your mother. There's a reason for that. If God thought it was necessary to tell you to do it, then bless God, you ought to look into it and investigate it and find out why you ought to honor your mother. I'll tell you why. Because of who she is. She's mama. You know what mama did? Mama carried you in her womb, in her belly, 9 long months. And the day she went down to the doctor and or got them little tests you get at the drugstore now, and it came back positive, and she knew there was a baby in her belly. From that minute, she was excited. I'm going to have a baby. And I, honest to God, I believe a woman falls in love with the baby right then, right there. It ain't as big as the end of your finger. Got no personality, no emotions of its own. But boy, there's just something about that. That mothering instinct falls in love with that little baby from the minute she knows that it's there. And from that minute, listen, that's all they talk about, ain't it? I mean, they just found out they're in a family way and they're already down buying pink and blue. They're already fixing up a nursery. They're already buying clothes. They're buying diapers. They go down and buy a big bag of diapers every week so when the baby comes, there won't be such a big expense. 9 months later, there's 7,600 diapers stacked away in the closet. Say, why? Because that's all that girl's thought about from the moment she found out she was going to have that baby. She's been in love with that thing, preparing for it. Amen? Then she lays on her bed and comes this close to dying. Only God knows all the things that can go wrong in giving birth. And the pain that comes. They say if men had the babies, there would only be one per house. If the boys were having the baby, honey, there wouldn't be but one. Mama suffers all that pain and all that agony. She lays there and cries and the sweat runs down her brow. And she moans and groans, and it's a horrendous thing she has to go through. But the minute that baby comes out of that birth canal, and they cut that umbilical cord and pick that little red, nasty-looking thing up, that mama's heart forgets all the pain. She forgets all the trials and tribulation, and all that love and all that emotion she's had for 9 months is suddenly dwells in that little baby. And she looks at that little thing all red and wrinkled and covered with afterbirth and totally unlovely. And that mother sees the most beautiful thing that God ever allowed to come onto this planet. And from that day forward, that mother has got your best interest in her heart. That it's that mother and that mothering instinct that protects you and nurtures you and teaches you and leads you and guides you and prays over you and cries over you and set an example for you and point you in the right direction. She's the one that teaches the same lesson over and over and over and over again. Week in and week out and sometimes month in and month out and sometimes year in and year out until finally you get it in that thick little head of yours. It's mama that does all that. Puts you in the sink and washes your little body and cleans you and pampers you, teaches you how to dress and teaches you how to eat, teaches you how to talk. Who was it that got all excited about that first little word or that first little step? Who is it that got to tell daddy when he comes home from work every afternoon what baby did today? All that was mother. Boy, when you get a little older and maybe you get out and get in trouble, whose heart's broken? It's mother. You go out someplace and get hurt, who is it that wants to take care of you? Who's the caregiver? Who's the one that pampers you? It's your mother. It's your mother. Buddy, I'm going to tell you why you ought to honor your mother. Because of who she is and what she's done for you. Number two, how to honor your mother. Well, today's a good way. Set aside a special time to show your mother in a very definite, very significant way that you appreciate her and love her and thank God for all that she did. I like these kind of holidays where we buy a card for our mother with a special sentiment in it. Perhaps take her to a special dinner or something, or buy her a new dress, stop by and spend the day with her and just let her know that we love her, that she's special, and we've set aside this day just to say that one thing. That's a wonderful way to honor your mother. Amen. Take her to church. Go to church with her, as long as she goes to your church. Be with your mother in the house of God on Mother's Day. That's a wonderful way. Now, a lot of folks, you know, they want to leave God out of it because it's one of them family times. Thanksgiving's family time. Christmas, Easter, family time. Easter is a family time. Mother's Day is a family time. Father's Day is a family time. Oh, there's at least 4 or 5 days you don't need to go to church every year. Those are the very days you ought to be there, no matter what. Anyway, Mother's Day, we honor our mother. We're going to go down and meet my dad and Miss Bernice. She's not my mother. She's my dad's wife. My mom was in glory, but she's somebody's mother. She's got a son, and he's not going to take her to dinner, so I am. Amen? And I love Miss Bernice. We thank God for Miss Bernice. She's kept my dad off my hands for some 10 or 11 years now. Glory to God. I pray every day, Lord, keep her alive, keep her healthy, keep her strong. Oh, dear God, please let Miss Bernice outlive my daddy. Seriously, we do love Miss Bernice. She is such a sweetheart. How do you honor her? Well, we can honor her with praise and appreciation. Let me tell you how you really honor your mother. I've looked at that verse, honor thy father and thy mother. I've looked at that verse for years, and I've thought about it over and over and over. And I've tried to look up, at one time or another, every verse in the Bible that has to do with an expression of honor. Not just the words that the verses that have the word honor in them, but those places where people showed honor through action or conduct to their mother or their father. And let me tell you what honor thy father and thy mother means. You want to hear it? All right. It means don't live so as to dishonor. That's what it means. You want to honor your father and your mother? Then you live a life that will bring honor to them. You live a life so that when people know you and talk about you, they'll look down and say, now there's Jordan Steele. I knew her mom and dad, and she's just like them. She's a sweet-spirited, Christian-minded, God-fearing little girl. I've never heard one thing bad about her. That honors her father and her mother. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. When that Bible said, honor thy father and thy mother, it's not talking about giving them a plaque. It's not even talking about Mother's Day, even though those things are fine. Honor thy father and thy mother is a life principle. It's what you do with your life from beginning to end. Let no man despise thy youth. I'm supposed to live my life from my childhood to my dying day in such a way that I never dishonor. Amen. I don't want somebody to come by here one of these days and say, well, now I knew Boyd Hensley. He was a pretty good old fellow, a little gruff and tough, but he was a good man, decent man, God-fearing man. I don't know what happened to that Boyd Hensley. He wasn't nothing but a whoremongering old drunk. That dishonors. Amen. That dishonors. So when you go out and live your life like the devil, when you go out and bring shame and reproach, when you go out and get a reputation for being no good, you dishonor that man and that woman that brought you into this world. And you're not supposed to do that. You are supposed to honor thy father and thy mother. When somebody talks to my dad and my name comes up, they say, oh, I know your boy. And don't he preach over in York? Amen? And they may not know a whole lot about me to brag on, but they certainly ought not to know anything about me to throw off on. Amen. Amen. I want to live my life to be an honor or to bring honor, or at least not to do anything to dishonor my mom and dad. Now, buddy, we're paying honor to mom. If you really want to honor her, live a life like you ought to live. Be honest. Be sober. Be chaste. Be pure. Be godly. And you will never dishonor your mother. Amen. She can hold her head up high when she goes to the ladies' aid meeting. She can hold her head up high when she walks in the church and all the other ladies are there. Live the life you ought to live. And when she goes to buy groceries down at the Piggly Wiggly, she can walk with her head held high. Because as a mother, she was a success. She raised a boy. She raised a girl. She raised a family that live right and walk right and talk right and fear God. That's the way it's supposed to be done. You really want to honor your mother? You really do you really? Then live a good life. Amen. She did all she could. She trained you. She taught you. She wept over you. She prayed for you. Payback time. He said, well, it's my life and I'm going to live it like I want to. Well, it's not just yours. A lot of people got time and energy invested in you. A lot of people got expectations for you, and rightful, lawful expectations. And you don't have the right to disappoint them and live like the devil. When to honor your mother? When's the right time? Today's a good day. Tomorrow's a good day. A day after that, a day after that, a day after that. I'm afraid we have a generation of people who do not honor their fathers and their mothers. The Orientals got a lot better handle on that than we do. Now they carry it to the extreme and get over the top and end up doing the ancestor worship thing. But they respect their progenitors. They respect their predecessors. And in most Oriental countries, you would rather die than dishonor your mom and dad. I wish we'd get back to that in America. People come in and say, where's your daughter? She's not here. They don't bother to ask why. Boy, it hurts. Amen. I have no idea that hurts. Amen. You got to live your life. You only got one. You only got one shot at it. You make sure. You listen to me, young lady. Look at me. John. You boys back there. Listen to me. Listen to me. You got a shot at it. You ain't messed it up yet. You got your life in front of you. Live it so you don't have to be ashamed. Live it so your mama and your daddy don't have to be ashamed. To a preacher, that's hard. Okay, everything good in life is hard. I don't know anything good that's easy. I don't know anything where there's a free ride. I don't know anything where there's not a price tag. You have to pay for everything. Okay, pay the price. Walk the walk. Talk the talk. Live the life. And when you get down to the end and you look back, you'll say, thank God I did it that way. Thank God. I made my mom and daddy proud. You sing that song. Brother Buck Boyne's wife sings it. I get her singing every time she comes down here. Every time we go up there, I browbeat her. And it's called Hello, Mama. And it's a story about a wayward boy. He's lived like the devil. He's broke his mama's heart. But he does finally get right with God, and he gets saved, and he calls his mama just to tell her she don't have to worry about him anymore. Things are okay with him and God. And that's a very touching song. And I thank God for the prodigals that come back. But wouldn't it have been better? Wouldn't it have been more honorable if you'd never gone away? If Mama never had to shed those tears? If she had never had to pray those prayers? If she had never spent those sleepless nights wondering where you were, what you were doing, and who you were with? Wouldn't it have been better if you'd have lived your life, grew up, got married, raised kids, worked a job, grew old, and died? Oh, that sounds so boring. I don't sound boring to me. It don't sound boring to me. That just sounds like a good life. What's wrong with a life like that? What's wrong with a life that's predictable? What's wrong with a life that's steadfast and stable? What's wrong with that? Oh, we got this mentality. We got to have fun. We got to have excitement. Oh, well, we've been married 5 years now and I'm bored. Son, if you're bored with her in 5 years, you got a problem. I got enough imagination. I've been married to the same one 45 years and I ain't bored yet. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. By the way, if you're bored with this one in 5 years, you'd be bored with the next one too. If you ain't figured it out yet, they all come with the same equipment. Amen. Amen. You're just fooling yourself. Honor thy father and thy mother. And today we want to honor mother. Tell you what I do. I give about anything I own. My mama was here today. She's just 5'2" tall. Blue eyes. Last few years they had her on that prednisone, cortisone, whatever. She was in some zone. She's about as big around as she was tall. But she's still my mama. I still remember coming to our house when I was a boy in the afternoon. I could smell them fried potatoes on the stove. And them big old biscuits and that fat back and pinto beans. I don't have a better memory than that. See my mama in the kitchen cooking dinner. My daddy'd be home 5 or 10 minutes after 5. Table would be set and dinner would be ready. When daddy come home, we sit down and eat. I like to see that little fat thing. I miss my wife's mama. She still has a hard time. We would go places, see things, boy, and she would just start crying. She'd swap anything we own today just to hold that mama one more time. Her sister passed away a year or so ago. One of her daughters called this morning bright and early, and she was just a boo-hooing. Missing that mama. Having a hard time, boy. You only get one. Amen. And they give everything they've got for you. And then, in a manner of speaking, we treat them like dirt. We go out and live our lives and do it in such a way as to bring shame and reproach. And people wonder, what kind of mama raised that? What a tragedy. Let me encourage you today to honor your mom. Today's a good day. Give her a special card. Buy her a box of candy. Take her to dinner. Put your arm around her and tell her you love her. I've never seen a mama yet that didn't want to hear, I love you. Let me tell a little story and we'll be done. I've told this story before, but it's one of my favorite stories. I got this out of the back of an old book I bought in a bookstore one time for a nickel. And it was sermon outlines or sermons by Hyman Appleman. And in the back, they had some illustrations that he had used in some of his sermons. And by the way, I didn't much care for his sermons, but I really liked his illustrations. And in the back of that little book, there was this little story. It was Christmas time. It had snowed, and the snow was deep, and the weather was cold. And there was a little old lady up in her 90s and failing health and wasn't going to be there very long, probably wouldn't see another Christmas. And so all the children and all the husbands, all the wives, and all the grandchildren decided to be at grandmother's this year for Christmas. And they all came, and they brought food, and they brought presents, and They put up a big old tree, and they were at grandmother's and great-grandmother's house that day for Christmas and to have Christmas dinner. They all went to church on Christmas morning. They came back and had a big, big dinner and all kind of cakes and fruit cakes and all the stuff that goes with it. And then they opened presents in the afternoon. And grandmother was getting tired, and they kind of took her out on a little sun porch back there and put a shawl over her knees and let her sit there in the sun in her little rocker. And she sat there and just rocked and her little gray head just going back and forth. She kind of dozed. She was in it and out of it. And one by one, the children all left. And they came out and touched her and said goodbye, whatever. And finally, everybody was gone, and nobody was left at home except Mama and her oldest boy, who was 65 years old. He locked the front door and closed it up, and he walked back to the sunroom, and his Mama was sitting there, old and bent and gray-headed, sitting there in the sun, her little eyes closed, just gently rocking. And he looked at the little lady, and all the memories of his life flooded his mind. And he remembered his boyhood and the days with his mother and the times they had had. It had been years since he thought about it. He was a grown man with his own family, his own children, and he was busy with the things of his own life. But something came over him, and the old man walked over, and he got down on his knees, and he laid his head in his little old mama's lap. Hadn't done that probably in 50 years. Just laid his head down there. He sat there a minute or two, and then just very gently, he said, "Mama, I love you." And he felt a little withered hand caress his brow, and tears fall on the back of his head. And his little old mama said, "I've waited 55 years to hear that." And he held his mama, and she cried, and he cried. I always liked that story. After I read that, I made it a point in my life to make sure I told my mama I loved her. And by the grace of God, I tried to do all I could to let her know I loved her. Not just by the things I said, but by the way I lived my life. I didn't want to do anything to dishonor that little lady. Let me ask you this morning, do you love your mama? You want her to know that you love her? Honor her. Honor her with a life that reflects the kind of mother she was. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for this day. Help us, I pray, oh God, to show special honor to our mothers this day. But Lord, I pray tomorrow when all the hoopla is over and the cards are put away and the candy is gone, we'd live to honor our mother. In Jesus' name.